International rugby is back. Scotland will host world champions South Africa, Southern Hemisphere heavyweight Australia, Pacific Islanders Tonga, and the exciting Japan at BT Murrayfield this October and November. Adult tickets start from just £16 and kids can come for a quid. For more information on the Autumn Nation series and to secure your tickets for the return of international rugby to BT Murrayfield, check out scottishrugby.org. We can't wait to welcome you back.
Hello and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. I'm Jamie McMillan. This week's episode is a Fosrock Super Six special as we look ahead to the big final between Ayrshire Bulls and Southern Knights, and we chat with head coaches Pat McArthur and Rob Christie. Well, delighted now to be joined on the podcast by Ayrshire Bulls head coach Pat McArthur and Southern Knights head coach Rob Christie. What will be a very busy week as we look ahead to the Fosrock Super Six final. Pat, welcome to the podcast. I know it's your first time, and Rob, welcome back to the podcast. Great to have you both on to look ahead to the final. Rob, I'll come to you first. You know, you've been on before, you kind of know how this kind of works out, but it's a little bit different now with the final this weekend. How are you guys looking forward to the big game on Sunday?
We're definitely looking forward to it. It's although it's been reasonably short in time, it's been full on. I think the competition's been pretty intense. I think that, to be fair, it looks like all the coaches and players have committed to it fully, which is brilliant. And I think that was the purpose of the competition, was to try and raise the standards. And I do believe that all six teams, along with the players and also the off-field, they've definitely produced something that's really exciting to be part of. And moving forward to the final, it's I don't know, we've obviously been here a few times against Old Ayr or Ayrshire Bulls, but yeah, look, I think that the big thing for us is we've got to enjoy the week. I think that's one of the big things that we've been talking about. You know, we can get too caught up in it a little bit, but let's enjoy it and, you know, let's work hard. I don't think we need to change too much, and if you're trying to change too much at this time, it's too late anyway. So, yeah.
Now, listen, I agree with everything you've said, Bob. It's I've really enjoyed Super Six as a whole. I've seen all the games. I've been at a lot of the games. I've caught up with others, and I've been really impressed by not only the playing standards, especially progressing as it goes through, but the thing that stuck out to me is how competitive it's been. Like, we spoke last week about the number of games that finished within a score, but not just for players. Like, I suppose for both of these coaches, maybe Pat, you'll maybe have a wee bit less experience than Bob because of your first stint as a head coach. But asking you both, through that competitive window, how much have you learned? Like, have you actually felt yourself developing and learning as a coach, being exposed to things that you've maybe not been exposed to before?
I'd say personally, I've learned vast amounts through this small period of time. Coming in as head coach, my first stint, as you say. I had to kind of adapt vastly what I was doing before. I was very much
from what you were doing as a club coach.
Yeah, as a club coach, as an assistant coach. Yeah. For me, the change is night and day. Whether in the sense that I, as a head coach, I think it's important. I've learned vastly about how to delegate out the roles and put a massive amount of trust in the guys I work with. Like with Pete Horn, he's got a vast knowledge. We know that he's played an awful lot of rugby. Still is playing a high level rugby. So for me, it was an awful lot of delegating out the roles where previously I was almost getting handed what role and with discussion. And then throughout the season, just adapting how we're working. We're a new team, in a sense, a new coaching setup. So we had to kind of adapt how we were working and the kind of the way that our team was playing throughout the season. I think that's possibly why we didn't quite click in the very first games. And then we kind of grew as the season went on.
What do you find harder, delegating out or being delegated to? Personally, I would struggle if I was Bob's smiling, bottom corner, but like I would find it hard as a head coach to delegate or to give away too much. But you're bang on in saying the trust and the work you do collaborative together helps it. But is it a struggle to delegate?
I think, yeah. Look, I've always, like, simply within Ayr, I've always been in charge of the forwards and defence. And this is the first time, as taking the new role, I had to give away my forward pack. So I think that was quite a tough thing. But I was giving it to Bob Parley, who was incredibly, like, very knowledgeable in that area. So I was always trusting him. But the fact I had to try and give that up, and that was a big part of my identity as a coach and as a team, it was, that was tough. But when you're delegating to guys that you trust and that are willing to put the time and effort in, then it isn't like a strenuous thing. It seems almost natural, although you still want to kind of hold on a wee bit because it is a fearful time.
But you still have overall control as well, and you can influence that. And that's where the small conversations as a management team or a coaching team are really important. Bob, you've been head coach longer. What kind of changes from, say, coaching in the Premiership to coaching in the Fostock Super Six have kind of jumped out most over the last, I'd say, 2 years, certainly this year?
Biggest one for me is the demand from the players to get better.
Oh, really?
It's as simple as that. I think that's been the biggest switch. I've said this a few times, I think, that we've now got players that are invested and want to do well as individuals and then collectively as a team. I see that being the biggest shift. Now, that might be because the squads are more competitive. I'm not too sure. We believe we're pretty fortunate down here. We've got quite a rounded squad. So boys know that if they're not on it, the chances are they won't play. We have rotated our squad throughout it anyway. And that was always, we kind of done a review on the back of season one. It's something that we didn't do very well. So we definitely made a conscious effort of making sure we did that this time. So that'd be the biggest thing I've seen, the biggest change.
And you see when players are either coming to you or the other coaches or going to each other to improve, to get better, is it when maybe they've had a poor game or is it ultimately when they've had a good game as well? Like, you want that thirst and drive from players in the good times and the bad, isn't it? It's not just when they've maybe had a bad game or they're facing being dropped or anything. Is it the whole time?
No, we're pretty brutal on each other today, right?
It's not like you.
Boys get absolutely rinsed for everything they do. When you're winning, it's obviously not quite as much a bite to it. And I'll probably give an example. And we got it wrong as a coaching group. And we reviewed it. We played Watson's in round five on the back of a 4-day turnaround, really. So we went Boroughmuir the Sunday and then we played Watson's on the Friday. And we definitely got it wrong in relation to the way that we set out the squad for both weekends. And we learned a lot from that. So again, we spoke to the players around that. We did a little bit mini review then anyway after round five, and some interesting stuff came out of that, which helped us as a kind of coaching group as well. That was an interesting week actually.
And that was a tough week as well, and you were away in the second game when you were swinging. From memory, like, discipline maybe let you down a wee bit in the second half as a yellow card, and you kind of stuck in, and it was the last 20 minutes really that 4 or 5 day. Maybe turnaround showed when the discipline went off a wee bit as well, didn't it?
Yeah, we played really well the first half actually, and we had a big chance just after half time, and we bombed it, and they went the length, got a penalty, kicked to the corner, and scored. And we just really struggled to get back into the game for really 25 minutes. We rode it out a little bit, and we just didn't quite get there. But look, it was a good process to go through as a kind of group, both on and off the field, 100%. It was good with some good chat after that. It was good.
And Pat, I suppose while we're on the topic, we're almost picking out key moments of the season. And from your perspective, kind of that away game in Stirling that you lost dramatically in the last couple of minutes, there was almost a line in the sand moment I felt for Ayrshire Bulls there, where the next game week became really important because it was either this season kicks on or this could be it so early on, you know, facing another defeat. But from there, I mean, you've been on fire, just progressively getting better and better and better. Would that have been an important kind of moment in your season, do you think?
Yeah, without doubt, on the back of that. We, at the start of the season, you set out your stall. Now, every team does it. Where do you want to be? You want to win the league. You want to progress as a team, progress as coaches and as players. Now, as you said, that game against Stirling when we lost in the last play of the game, I'd stand by, we probably didn't deserve to win that game. I think that we didn't play to our potential in that game. And it came off the back of two games where we had played well and could have and should have won them. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is, there's a lot of young guys here learning their trade. And part of learning is how to deal with these losses and wins and to stick by your systems. So that was a line of sand. We turned out, had a real frank meeting after that. As Bob says, you have key moments and key meetings. That was a key meeting for us. And throughout that meeting, we decided at that point, just stick to what we have built. We've built a good squad and trust in ourselves. And as that trust kind of grew off the back of that, we started putting performances together. And then, as you see, you can build momentum. And credit to the guys, they stuck to it. The following week was a big game, and we did really well.
Was that the Heretics at home game?
Yeah, and then
Heretics were in good form then as well, weren't they? And was, you could see that there was a real marked edge.
Yeah,
but that game against Heretics at home,
without doubt. And then actually, we actually had a week off. So Bob was talking about how he had a bit of discussion after that. That was the tricky point as a coach, I believe, because we finally got the momentum shift that we wanted. Right, things clicked. And then it was about trusting the boys to go away for a week and then pick up where we went off. Mm-hmm. And that's where he says the players are wanting more. Mm-hmm. The players are still wanting to train during that week off. The players are wanting to progress and come and get feedback. And that's where the big difference, I see massive difference. Three times a week, the boys want to be on that training pitch. And when you ask for feedback, it's always easy to go to a coach and get feedback when you've played well. Mm-hmm. Because you know you've played well, and you know if you go see him, he'll tell you all the good things and a few wee things you work on. And it's the fact that even if a boy doesn't have his best performance, he's still man enough to come to you and ask for some feedback to make himself better in the good and the bad. And I think that's when you see the true character of the players that you have in your squad.
Is that speaking through experience, Pat?
I mean, I would possibly say that. That's I've lost enough games to understand when I've done a bad one.
I used to hate watching myself playing rugby. I was so small. Like, I was like, look how wee I am. Like a wee Shetland pony.
Like, Bob and I, we played together. We were the smallest halfback pair in the world. Bob was the shortest, and I was the thinnest. There wasn't much between us. Bob,
a defensive set that you guys had been.
I mean, it has been a brilliant. I think it's been a really good process. I think you mentioned players' improvement and seek improvement. Spoken about your development and your learnings as coaches. I think match officials as well have been put under more pressure than they've had before, and getting, you know, demanding that calls are right, and you know, whether it's scrum calls, when because there's a consequence of every call, really, because it's meaningful. It's real meaningful rugby. But so I think it's been great. Is there, Bob, you've maybe already answered this, but as you build up to the final at Damhealth Stadium on Sunday, you'll have obviously things up your sleeve that you don't need to share with us now, but will you change things? Will there be something new, or is it just trusting this role and the processes that you're on already? Or because it's a final, do you have to make it something?
We've got to do exactly the same as we done at Millbrae 2 weeks ago. Aye. We're going to do.
You won that young party, didn't you?
I think we're okay. You guys are great helpers.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's sometimes you're like, bigger game, should you build it up to be a final? Should you do something different? Or is the mentality, listen, same again, rock up again, get it. Principles right, get them done, and almost take the emotion out of it. And it's something I wrestled with as a player and as a senior player for a long number of years. Like, and there's probably no right answer. Do you build it up or do you keep it the same?
Yeah, no, look, it's a really good question. And I think a lot of coaches would love to have the answer that, you know, because as you say, you can do your jersey presentations, you can have somebody in to do a guest speaker, you can play a favourite music because you run out, whatever, do you know what I mean? But yeah, look, I think that we've got a good understanding within this group. And I think that, you know, from the coaches, the management, off-field, they're just as important, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. I think from my point of view, as long as we make the players feel comfortable and just make sure that they feel as well prepared as possible, I think that's all we can do as coaches, and allow them to focus on their game and what they need to do, like, is the key to, in my opinion.
I wouldn't be far away from the same off the back of that. Like, I think part of our job as coaches is to teach the lads how to try and deal with different levels of pressure.
Yeah.
Like, it's a higher pressure game being on TV, so they kind of had to get understanding of that. Mm-hmm. And then luckily, like, we've played in quite a few finals or been involved in these high pressure games, and it's about coaching them how to mentally deal with it as well. So Bob's right. We probably won't change massive amounts of what we do in this week because it is just another week against a similar team with a slight more pressure on it, and you'll find the intensity will be a bit higher. But as long as they understand that if you look at it and believe it's the same game, right, then you'll be fine. It's not like rugby is going to change or anything's going to change off the back of that.
Were you involved, Pat? Because I remember having this discussion with Al a few times. The first pro 14, 12 final, whatever iteration it was then, where you went away playing Leinster, I remember Al saying, probably got overly caught up in the fact it was a final and you played the event rather than the match.
Oh, without doubt. We tried to change vast amounts of things going into that game. We over-egged it. We talked too much about this occasion and I think it kind of, you lose the simplicity of rugby. Mm-hmm. Like, as Bob says, he says, Melrose are the team they are and they're not going to change who they are for this week. We are the team that we have been throughout the whole season. We stick by our same principles and the same like non-negotiables that I believe in as a coach and a Horney and all that do as well. So as long as they understand it, great occasion. You'll remember the occasion because these are the ones you will remember through good or bad, depending on how the result ends up in the end. But nothing in theory, I believe, has to change. And as you see, we learn through experience as well, as coaches, as players, and you hopefully kind of feed that down the way as well.
Yeah. I think one of the big things for, I suppose, Ayrshire Bulls are the same as are the Southern Knights. You know, we're trying to create something as well, you know, in our areas. We're trying to create opportunities. And I think that it's excellent that we've got an opportunity, both clubs or both teams, to do something for the first time. Mm-hmm. It's not very often in sport that you kind of get to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting, 100%. So it adds to it. I think the Edinburgh Stadium looks amazing. Mm-hmm. So it'll, you know, we've obviously all been at cup finals, and you know, although there's still really good crowds at the old cup finals, there were good crowds. Yeah. But look, at Murrayfield's huge. You know, it did get lost. So hopefully, we'll get a really good crowd, and it will be a good occasion. And look, somebody's got to lose. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, somebody's got to feel a wee bit sorer at the end of it. However, I think that what everybody's been through over the last, well, it's now almost 20 months, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think it should be a celebration. And I'm saying that just now, regardless. We've had an internal discussion as management around that. Because I do believe it's really important that our players, and the same as Pat's and all the other Super Six players, they've had to take a lot of sacrifice to do what they've done. It's not been easy at times, but they deserve to, you know, really celebrate what they've done over the last 18 months, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Totally agree. It's on the theme of event versus game. It is an event, but for the players, it's a game. That's probably the best way. Yeah. You know, everybody else, it's a big event, it's a final, but the players, it's a game. And you're right, the memories and the good or bad, what you create as a byproduct of your performance. So it can be a whole lot of excitement before it and a whole lot of excitement after it. And I suppose maybe look further ahead, what effect it can possibly have on future seasons as well. You know, getting that, as you say, firsts are really hard to do. It's quite, you know, it's become the first at anything's, you know, breaking that barrier, getting over it, winning it. So there's a bit of kind of legacy to work towards as well for both clubs.
I think as well, you've got to look at the players. Like, as you say, the last 20 months has not been easy for anyone, right? And I think, now I've only seen a small snapshot within Ayr Rugby Club, but the way the boys have all come together and made such a close bond so quickly, mm-hmm. and you can see that throughout. Like rugby as general, it's massively beneficial to young boys and girls, men, to get that team sport back, because you can see this by how tight my group of boys have become, mm-hmm. and I can see that down across the full club, that how much it means to be part of a team is huge. Now, success or failure off the back of that, just being part of that and trying to create a good team has mm-hmm. been brilliant, and seeing them actually have fun every weekend and forget about all the crap that we've been through previously, mm-hmm. I think that's a massive positive, just to get rugby back again as a whole. And then inclusive in top level rugby, Super Six rugby, and yet you're still managing to get that group really bonding together. I think it's been a big plus in the air camp.
Yeah, No, and I think boys have created opportunities for themselves as well. Like we've seen some guys already going into pro rugby in the championship already. We've had three now that have, you know, been involved in pro setups in Scotland. Two in Edinburgh, and Daniel Sudden and Patrick Anderson, and Ewan McLaren's been invited into Glasgow as well. So, look, again, it's about working hard to create opportunities for ultimately for the players. And yeah, there's some good evidence now that bridge is beginning to get crossed a little bit. I do believe we've still got a bit to go, but that's fine. And I think that, you know, you will hopefully through time see more and more of these young guys and also guys that maybe came back to the game in Scotland, you know, if they've been on a bit of a journey for whatever reason, getting their opportunities. So, no, I think it's really exciting times. I really do. I think everybody's put a really huge amount of effort into getting this competition up and running. I think the media on the back of it has been brilliant. You know, 2/3 of the game are live now, whether it's a Friday night or a Sunday. It's pretty impressive, really. So,
it's been a great product to watch as well on the field, as you guys have talked about. It's been a great season of rugby and a great showcase of the talent that we have in Scotland. So, and the great coaches we've got, whether they're like Pat coming in for his first kind of stint as a head coach, and Rob, somebody who's been there for a little bit longer. But we're all looking forward to Sunday to the big game, and we wish you both the very best of luck when it comes. Enjoy the day, we look forward to watching that live on Sunday. So Pat and Rab, thank you very much for your time and best of luck on Sunday.
International rugby is back. Scotland will host world champions South Africa, Southern Hemisphere heavyweight Australia, Pacific Islanders Tonga, and the exciting Japan at BT Murrayfield this October and November. Adult tickets start from just £16 and kids can come for a quid. For more information on the Autumn Nation series and to secure your tickets for the return of international rugby to BT Murrayfield, check out scottishrugby.org. We can't wait to welcome you back.
Right, Moss, great to hear from Pat McArthur of Ayrshire Bulls and Rob Christie of the Southern Knights. Two very different coaches for a number of reasons. You know, Rob, an established coach, has been involved for a long time, and Pat coming up, we talked about, for his first stint as a head coach. You look at previous fixtures, though. They know each other quite well, but it's been pretty close games, hasn't it? What do you think this Sunday will bring? And is that just such a hard game to call?
It obviously is. Finals are, I think from quite early on, I thought that Southern Knights would be very hard to beat, especially at home. Like, I thought their home record would be excellent. I mean, they've played 10, obviously. They've won 7, drawn 1, only lost 2. The 2 defeats came away from home. One that Rob spoke about and a short turnaround, another one was against Ayrshire Bulls a couple of weeks ago on a Friday night. So it's going to be tight, but Ayrshire Bulls are slightly different. I thought they started really quite well, but then didn't get their wins as a result. I think right back to the opening game, the opening weekend they played Watonians, and there was some brilliant rugby played, but it was a little bit, it wasn't quite as accurate. And then maybe they lost a couple early on, and then that line in the sand moment where actually they were staring, like, if we lose another game, the chances of getting to a final are pretty slim. But they got better and better and better every week, to the point where they were really on the increase. And Watsonians, who'd started really well as a season, maybe stagnated a little bit and just couldn't get the wins as the momentum was going with Ayrshire Bulls. So it won't be a lot in it this weekend. Two good coaches, two guys I know really, really well, known Bob for, I don't know, give away our age, but 20-odd years. Played together, for all age grade rugby. We know him really well. And Pat, you know, played against, played alongside as well, and knows the game in loads of different ways. But they both spoke about how well everybody else had done in terms of coaching staff, in terms of players, you know, supporters that are going to be part of the journey, club members and club officials, but they never quite rightly spoke, well, not quite rightly, just quite obviously spoke about themselves, but what they've been through in terms of the demands put on them all through the COVID period, as well as the other four coaches, head coaches as well. It's a big demand, it's a big stress, and they've dealt with all that and actually created really good environments for players to progress. Bob mentioned it there as well, the number of players that have already gone on across the league to into the full professional ranks. And listen, having watched all the games, there's a lot more. There's so many players in there who have the potential and ability to progress, and that's a lot down to the hard work. They're both really determined coaches. They'll know each other inside out. It's a tough one to call. I quite like the fact that it's a neutral venue as well, the Damhill Stadium.
Yeah,
it makes it an event. You know, not that it was
cup,
never
cup
be a
final
event,
feel
it
to yeah, like it a destination.
It,
yeah.
It makes it a destination final. That is another little element the players and the coaches have to deal with, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I think we all are, and we've talked at length how much you've enjoyed, you know, watching the Fosbroke Super Six and covering it, and we'll do so next week after the Southern Knights or the Ayrshire Bulls lifts the trophy for the second season of the Fosbroke Super Six. But moving back to, I guess, more rugby now, mostly the United Rugby Championship has keep being on trucking. The United Rugby Championship has continued. Thoughts on Glasgow and Edinburgh's performances at the weekend?
Glasgow, I'll go Glasgow first. It was a good win at home. The South African teams are, I know it sounds really generic and cliche to say they're improving, and it's quite condescending. I don't mean that at all in terms of being condescending, but they are getting better and better. The Lions, I thought, I mean, they started the season well against Zebre, and then they were pretty poor against the Scarlets a week later. And then obviously played Glasgow on Saturday, and the improvement from Scarlets to Glasgow was vast. They were defensively just almost, I don't know what, manic, I suppose is the word, which is, it's not really, like, you kind of want manic defence, but you want a structured defence. Well, their desire and scramble defence frustrated Glasgow. Some of Glasgow's initial attacks and set piece and set plays was excellent. Like, genuinely, the defence almost couldn't cover all the options, and Glasgow were so good at finding the right option, but then didn't capitalise through a combination of amazing scramble defence from the Lions, but also just maybe Glasgow forcing it a little bit. So Jamie Batty's try, which I genuinely don't think he got it down, to be honest, but it was awarded in the first minute and a half. That was the only try of the game. And Glasgow dominated for 20 minutes, and then you could see the momentum that the Lions picked up from the defence kept them in the game, and then it became a real kind of close, tense encounter where the rain came on. The team that was ahead didn't have to force it. So you're in a much better position. And Glasgow managed that pretty well. So two wins from the opening three games and one away performance that brought 2 points home from, I think, Danny and the squad were pretty happy to travel away to Zebre this weekend. So they'll have to get their systems right to win away from home. But I think they'll be pretty happy with the start.
And what about Edinburgh then? I must say, what's your take on them?
Well, Edinburgh, again, like it was almost... It was similar in some ways that the first half was just brilliant to watch, wasn't it? I mean, that's the way you can see the DNA that Edinburgh want to play. I think the Stormers want to play like that as well. It was the Stormers are good side. Again, had improved from the previous week against Munster. The first half against Munster was outstanding the week before. And they've got some serious players. And the kind of attacking infectious desire broke out in the first half of both teams. Some errors, of course, there's going to be errors playing like that. But I believe it gives Edinburgh the best opportunity to compete. And the Stormers played like that as well. It's interesting to hear John Dobson, the coach, Stormers coach, afterwards saying, listen, he felt as if they got a wee bit too safe in the second half. And he was encouraging them to keep playing, similar to kind of Mike's message as well. So it's great to hear coaches being so positive about it. But I think the kind of occasion took over a wee bit, 20-all at half-time, 20-all at the final whistle. Opportunities to win for both sides, really. But, yeah, I think it probably was about right, because the attacking potential in the first half was excellent to both sides. And then the error rate in the second was probably equally as bad as each other, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The ball's lost in contact probably too often. It was a bit greasy. Both coaches will kick themselves. Both teams will kick themselves because they're like, it's a classic, we should have won that. But it ended up in a draw. And Edinburgh have got a big challenge this weekend. The Bulls, probably the physically the biggest or the four South African sides, and the most aggressive. They've got a very structured game plan. And if the Bulls, and if they stick to that, are allowed to stick to that, then it's tough to face almost South Africa national team like in terms of how the setup to play. So you've got to keep them guessing, you've got to move them, you've got to potentially keep the ball on the field more than get off the field to avoid set piece, limit the mistakes, to limit the number of scrums. So that's easy to say, it's easy in principle, but to do it against a quality side is difficult. So it's another big challenge for Edinburgh this weekend.
Speaking of big challenges, Mossy, Scotland take on Tonga at the end of the month in the first of the Autumn Nations series matches. And you know, the Glasgow Warriors have just signed a Tongan, the new winger, Walter Fifita. Do you know anything about their signing of that guy? Do you know much about what to expect?
Well, I was through Glasgow today, and he's a big man. Where are we? Mm. Really big, powerful.
So he's here already, yeah? Because it's immediate effects. Who's actually
trained today, so he's really comfortable on the ball, big, powerful winger, and it'll be exciting to see him with ball in hand, and it just adds to the depth that Glasgow are creating. They've got a really good deep squad. When you watch them train, you would struggle to know of the two, say if they were 15-15, you would struggle to say, right, well, actually, which team's the starting team, which team's, you know, would you start with, who would you pick? I mean, they're really strong depth of squad building up, and say Glasgow will be happy with their start. A challenge away from home this weekend, obviously. So they look, a lot of depth in the squad, and they look good. Just added to it with another massive backseat unit.
Well, that's all from us here on the official Scottish Rugby podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, we'll be back next week with more exclusive rugby content.